It's good to see everybody here, and I'm thankful that you're here this morning. I know a lot of folks, and myself included, got to be getting a little bit stir-crazy. You know, you get tired of... the Lord's blessed you with a nice home, but I'm sure you're glad to maybe get out, and I hope you're glad. I'm sure you're glad to see your family here at East Allen. And I said last week, and I'll repeat this week, you know, if a good thing comes out of all this, I pray that it'll be we won't take our presence in each other's lives for granted. I hope we'll appreciate the fact that we love our family and we want to be around our family, and we'll strive to do all we can to keep that going well into the future. Times are different. I'm 54. I've never seen, and I'm not that old. Now, when I was 20, 54 was old. Now that I'm 54, I'm just not that old. And as I age, I mentally get younger, you know. But truthfully, I've never seen, and nor have I spoken with anybody who's really seen anything like current times. There have been wars. That's a different scenario. There have been different sicknesses and pandemics. Those were actually different scenarios from this one. And it seemed like just when things were about to loosen up, not only in terms of the pandemic, but in terms of our lives, then all of this other stuff comes along, the riots, the all of that, and all I can say is it always breaks my heart when I think I've seen it all to know that man can still figure out a way to be ruthless. It's sad. And so the protesters and folks are on the street, and by the way, I know we need change. We've always needed change. Since Genesis chapter 3, man has needed to change. And God tells us that. That, by the way, is part of the loss of appeal to a society and a culture, and I'm talking about loss of appeal of God and the church, to a society and a culture that is very service-oriented. In other words, it's very me. It's very central to what I want. I want to choose my church, my worship service. I want to choose my doctrine of the Bible based on what I want it to be. Not what the Bible says. But the very first thing is what I want it to be. And so we argue with God and we fret with God. And we look at each other and we say to ourselves, well, if we'll just elect the right people. My response is, if you find them, I'll vote for them. But they're rare. They're very rare. And I'll tell you this, people don't hold the answer to these problems. We hold the problems. We're the solution to figuring out where the problems come from. Because that's us. That's people. That's humanity. But we don't hold the answers. If we could develop the answers on our own, folks, we wouldn't need God. If we were so smart, so intelligent, so powerful that we could handle these answers ourselves, come up with them ourselves, think through them logically and all this kind of stuff and get it done, we wouldn't need God. And I think that's man's attempt. Because when I don't need God anymore, I become God. I'm the one who gets to sit down and declare what's right and what's wrong. And it's maybe a popular vote. It might just be what's on my mind. But I get to become God. You see, it's not just the abolition or the dismissal of the Lord God Almighty. It is, in effect, what we try to make ourselves. And I'm talking about us. When I say us, I'm talking about human beings. And to be honest with you, we are massive failures. You might say, well, that's, you know, I want an uplifting sermon. I'm going to give you something that's going to pick you up here in a minute. But I'm trying to be real about what we face. And until we face the problem for what it is, and the basis and the origination of that problem for where it comes from, we will never successfully deal with it. We can find people that'll tell us. when our hair is all messed up or gone, that we have a great hairdo. Well, you might have a beautiful head, but if you don't have hair, you don't have a hairdo. That's just the way it goes. I mean, I've got half and half, you know. I've got half beautiful hair and half beautiful scalp, you know. Other folks got less, some got more, you know. But until we, going back to our point, until we understand what our real need is, there are already laws to prevent things like murder. Does murder still occur? Well, then what's the disconnect? What's the problem? We made a law. Well, it's a man-made law, but before man made that law, God had that law. And I promise you this, between the two, if God makes a law that will be broken, I assure you, man will make laws that will be broken. And how we handle the criminals, how we handle the people that do that, well, that's largely up to us. But I can tell you this, regardless of what happens in any secular or worldly courtroom, there will come a day when every person will face God. He will not get it wrong. And His judgment is eternal. And it's irrevocable and unappealable. So when He says it, that's it. My recommendation to humanity is read this book and then live it. Do you know how much trouble would be alleviated from humankind if man would live out the words of Scripture? I mean, if we really got sin out of our lives, what trouble would be left? Boredom? It's summertime, and I always remember being a young person in the summer. I lived the whole school year. They say you work through the work week to get to payday or Friday, and then for the weekend. I lived for getting out in the summer. Weekends were okay, but that's like an hors d'oeuvre. Summer was like the buffet, you know. And that's what I wanted, you know. That's where I wanted to be, and I wanted to be free. What I really meant was I wanted to sleep late, eat when I wanted to. But the one thing you didn't tell my dad was you were bored. You can say a lot of things, but don't tell that man you're bored. I can even remember the first time I said it, my two older brothers and my sister looked at me and they thought, oh, he shouldn't have said that. And they were right. Because when I said I was bored, guess what my dad figured out? Oh, we can fix that quick, fast, and in a hurry. You know, we can give you something to do that will keep you busy, and you won't be bored anymore. Thanks, Dad. I remember saying that one morning. My dad, during the week, worked for a trucking company. He brought a dump truck load of river rocks that were about 8 to 10 pounds a piece. And I mean a dump truck load. And a wheelbarrow. And I don't know how many bags of Portland mortar and cement. I think it was mortar. My job was to build, and I've never done this in my life, but my job was to build a retaining wall for our backyard. And I'm going to tell you nothing. I don't care how big Mount Everest is, it didn't look as big as that mountain of rocks sitting in that driveway my dad dumped off. And all those bags of cement. And he looked at me and he said, I got good news. You will not be bored for the rest of the summer at the very least. And when football season starts, you're going to be in great shape. And he was right. When I got done with that thing, I never wanted to see another rock for the rest of my life. We need things as people. We need God. There are a lot of people in this world that don't want authorities in their life. They don't want to be told what to do. They don't like that. They reject that. Well, I'm going to tell you, you're going to struggle with God because He is the ultimate authority. He is one from whom, when it is stated, it is beyond gospel. We call it gospel, but it is eternal. He spoke us and all that is into existence. Do you think His words are powerful? Do you think when He says something, man ought to sit down and say, well, all y'all, let's get together and vote on this. Let's make sure that we all like this. Let's make sure the world likes this. Let's make sure that when we have to carry the gospel to the world, if we have to say anything they don't want to hear, well, let's just fall in line and say what they want to hear. And let's just, you know what? That's man's getting himself into trouble yet again. If God says it, do it. Be it. Go there. Stay where, whatever He says, just make sure that that's where we are. In the 103rd Psalm, which was read earlier today, verses 1 through 5, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, my soul, and forget none of His benefits. Who pardons all your iniquities? Who heals all your diseases? Who redeems your life from the pit? Who crowns you with loving kindness and compassion? Who satisfies your years with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagle?" A series of questions designed to help us understand the importance of God. What you and I need is not to construct another list of demands. It is to be on our knees and repent. And too often, we don't. We excuse make, we blame, we want to point a finger. I'm not doing good because Denny's, whatever. And I love my brother Denny. He's not the cause of anything bad in my life. And sometimes the people we think are our enemies. Well, you know what they said, you know what they did, you know how they acted, you know what they thought. I really love the last one, "you know what they thought." As if you know what they thought. I don't know about you, but God didn't give me the power to read minds, and I'm doubtful He gave it to you. What am I without God? Well, first of all, I'm lost and many other things, but the very first thing we need to understand about why we need God is because He is our Creator. Half of the problem, or at least a good portion of the problems that people face, is because they go through life and they don't have any idea what it is they're supposed to be doing. They don't. They have no idea in life what, and well, I don't know. I've got, you know, what should I do and what direction should I go? And this is particularly poignant when you're young. We have graduates coming. Today we're going to honor our graduates. I just want to give this little side note. If you can, stick around. It's not going to be a long thing. But our graduates deserve to be recognized. Our young folks in high school and college that are making it through those processes and graduating, we love them all. And they deserve to be noticed. Unfortunately, this year, being the weird year it is, I saw something on Facebook that said, "I wonder if Mom's offer to slap me into next year is still standing. You know, will she please just do that and so I can get done with this year and go on to the next one, you know?" But this year's been strange and weird and unusual. Unfortunately, there have been some who have paid the price, and our graduates, unfortunately, have in a few cases. For certain circumstances, they should have received or been honored by, didn't get to see that. So we're just going to take a few minutes this afternoon, let them know we love them. And just honor them a little bit. So I invite you to be part of that if you can. But going back to our Creator, if I want to understand my purpose, I need to understand why I was built. Why I was made. You got to understand this. It seems like a simple concept when I say God is our Creator, but what impact does that have on me? It tells me then that if I want to know what it is I'm designed to do, I have to figure out who the designer is and give Him credit for that. I've got to sit down or kneel down and I've got to say to myself, well, God made me. The question is, why does God tell me that He made me? In the 139th Psalm, starting in verse 13, the psalmist writes this, "For you formed my inward parts. You wove me in my mother's womb." I'm going to read some more there in just a minute, but I want to convey a concept to you for the sake of a worldly idea. If God makes something, who does it belong to? Belongs to God, right? That's who it belongs to. Does it belong to me? No. It belongs to God. You might say, well, what has that got to do with a child? Before you decide that child is yours to dispense, and I mean that in the very literal sense, dispense with, you better ask yourself who it belongs to. Because if you come in my neighborhood and you set my car on fire because you think you can, I'm probably going to let you know you can't. Okay? Because I made the payments. Or Laura made them. You know, she writes the checks. I couldn't even tell you what I make. If she didn't tell me, I wouldn't know. And the good thing I trust her. She says I make $10 a week. I don't know. Might be 11. But if I claim ownership of something, it really needs to belong to me. My body? Who does my body belong to? Is it mine? Or is it God's? I mean, think about this for a minute. Who does your soul belong to? Who's it going to go to? When you leave this world and somebody throws dirt on the box that your body is in and your soul is outside of that body, who does that soul belong to? Who's it going to go back to? It's going back to God, folks. When we say God is our Creator, it answers the question of to whom we belong and it explains our purpose. God said, I wove, I built you. And before we get to the point where we decide we can do whatever we want, say whatever we want, act whatever way we want, we better ask ourselves whose stuff it is we're messing with. Because we belong to God. And the wonderful thing is that we belong to God. Because if I belong to me, Satan can have a field day. That's why when I ignore God, when I push the Creator away, when I say to God, I don't need you in my life, I become a prime target. Lord, I like your word, some parts of it, and some parts I don't, so I'll just do what I want. And Satan's just sitting there. Oh, thank you. I know exactly where I'm going to come from. So he does. Satan, among other things, is not foolish. Now, he's foolish for contradicting God. But he's smart enough to know that if you'll put God out of your life in some area, that's like leaving a door open for him. I'm going to put a wall up, and I'm going to put a massive gate up, and I'm going to put sentries on them, but we're going to leave the back door open. And wonder, how'd he get here? How'd he destroy my life? How did my life wind up in tatters? How did my family fall apart? How is the world in the shape that it's in? It's like that. Because people keep leaving the back door open. We want to do the big things everybody sees. But the little things will get you just as much. God is our Creator. He knows us better than we know ourselves. Have you ever read something in Scripture that you thought, well, that's hard? And in fact, in the New Testament, we find a couple of times when Jesus is talking to the disciples and he explains with great definition and great clarity some points of doctrine. And they look at Jesus and they say, that's hard. Jesus just said, well, it's hard. We'll do something else, right? Mm-mm. Yeah, it is hard. He even admitted, he said, I know it's hard. He didn't back away from it. He didn't change his wisdom. It didn't become wrong because suddenly man decided it was something he didn't want to do. What's hard for you and what's hard for me, baby, may be entirely different things. That's because we're different people. We're individuals. You may not struggle in a certain area. You may see somebody else and you say, why in the world do they struggle there? Because you don't struggle there. Well, how can a person struggle there? Because sin is that way. You see, their back door is different than your back door. Your back door might be a certain something. Their back door might be a whole nother something. But you know what? If we're not careful and we don't guard them, we've all got back doors. We have all sinned. All sinned. Some of us, a few of us, most of us, we have all sinned and falling short of the glory of God. Don't tell me you don't have a back door, because Satan knows where it is and he knows what it is. He's got your number, he's got my number. If we don't defend it, if we don't protect it, if we don't remember who our Creator is and what our created purpose is, then we're going to lose it. And God knows us well enough to tell us. The second thing, is in reference to why we need God, is because He is our Redeemer. If I know I failed, and you know you failed, if the Bible says we have all failed, and we have, then what are we left with? If that's what the message was, and that's where it stopped, we'd be doomed. Because that's like somebody walking up to you in a race, and I don't know if you've ever had this happen. It was usually evident. I didn't need anybody to tell me. But after a foot race, if you lost, guess what? You lost. Okay? Well, let me run that race. No, that the event was one time. Your life is one shot, and you're going to win it or you're going to lose it. And without the blood of Christ, I guarantee failure. Without Jesus Christ in our lives, we will not make it. If we don't recognize God, we will be obliterated on Satan's battlefield. We need to know that. And we need to live like that. But the good thing is this, the wonderful thing, the praise His name, the answer is that He is our Redeemer. We even have songs. We sing songs about that. He is our Redeemer. The 34th Psalm, verse 22, the Lord redeems the soul of His servants, and none of those who take refuge in Him will be condemned. Who take refuge in Him. I was talking to a young man some years ago. I'd done his wedding. He and his wife got married. They have a beautiful family, young kids, all this stuff. And I hadn't seen him in a few years until I saw him one time. I think it was in a Home Depot or a Lowe's. And we were just standing by the baskets, and he was noticeably different. And in talking to him, he was telling me, well, almost with tears in his... And by the way, this is what PTSD looks like in many people, if you don't know. The previous few months, Alabama had a tornado come through that was, I think, 3 to 6 miles wide. And it tore a hole in the geography there that is just indescribable. I mean, a tornado that big and that strong is human. It's hard to even define from human terms, but it was massive. And he was on the highway driving, and he kept hearing these reports. And if you live in North Alabama, this is a very common thing. Storms coming, tornadoes are down. And on the side of the roads, occasionally, you'll see these humps in the ground. They have a pipe that comes out of them. It has a J on the top facing down. And those are storm shelters. And they're generally built for the residents of whatever that home is. But he's driving down the road, and all of a sudden, cars start floating. And he got off the road, ran into this storm shelter where it was packed with people. And he ran in there, and the storm is raging, and all this storm shelter has is this little wooden door and this pipe coming out of it. It's sort of an above ground root cellar almost to describe it. But when he was telling this story, he had tears in his eyes. And he said, the only thought I had was I had to check on my mom and dad. I was trying so hard. He said, I would have pulled over and been safe, but I was trying to check on mom and dad, and I didn't make it. And the report said the tornado came right through where they lived. And he said, I was terrified. I was mortified. He said, I finally, after the storm bypassed us, I jumped back in my car, got it back on the road, drove frantically to my parents. Of course, there's emergencies. Everything's in disarray. You just can't imagine. It's like a war. He finally gets there, and he said, the tiny little room my parents were in was the only thing that survived of their home. They lived on a house built on a slab. It didn't have a basement. And they had a tiny little space. They were in that space. He said everything else was gone. The roof, the walls. He was trembling. My heart was beating as he was telling me this. It was real. This was no movie. It was a real thing. And he looked at me and he said, Lonnie, you told me about the gospel, and I forget when it was. And I said, yeah, we talked about it, and I actually baptized him. He said, but on that day, I understood what God could do. In the worst possible circumstance, He can save you. He said, and that's just a physical example. He said, but I understood spiritually something that I had not understood before that. And folks, when you look on the news today and you look around the world today and you see all the stuff that's going on and all the destruction man will wreak upon himself and others around him, you understand this. that God controls the storms. Okay? I can't tell you what your outcome will be, but I will tell you this. He will preserve you. He will keep you in this world and in the next. So when we talk about Him being our Redeemer, we're not just talking about God, and we tell the stories of Jesus on the cross, and as powerful as that ought to be, we tell them so often. I think sometimes they've lost their power in our lives. They shouldn't. Shame on us. But God is our Redeemer. Finally, the thing for us to remember is that He is our Provider. If God is our Provider, will He run out? Have you been to some of the restaurants that are opening back up and seen the menus? I went to Cracker Barrel yesterday because I'm a chubby southern white guy, and I went into Cracker Barrel. And I looked at the menu, and Laura was looking for something on the menu. It was kind of funny because their menus are reduced. You know, I guess they have supply issues or whatever. But the menus are reduced. And I wanted the Country Boy breakfast. If y'all want a breakfast that will fill you and four or five other people up, get the Country Boy breakfast. I looked on the menu, and I didn't find the Country Boy breakfast. I was about to run out of there. I was like, man, I know it's bad. But how bad can it be if I can't get the Country Boy breakfast? I'm not going to buy... If Cracker Barrel didn't have the Country Boy breakfast, I'm giving up on country food altogether. It just isn't going to be worth it. So we're sitting there looking at... I finally found they reduced the block, and I know why they did that. They're trying to... They put in big blocks, the healthier choices. I'm going to clue y'all in. Everybody in here is going to gain 15 pounds. Look in the small print, the small boxes. That's where the good stuff is. If y'all are looking, it's where the good one is. So I hope I've helped everybody today. God is our Provider. He will never, ever run short or low or out of what we need. There'll be no time when I will go to God with a need on my heart and in my soul that He won't look at me and say, son, I've got you. That He won't look at my soul and say, son, I can heal you. I can fix that problem. And I can tell you, in the world we live in today, people would be far more satisfied if they just knew where to go and would go there to get the answers they need instead of looking to each other. Because I'll be honest with you, the things we really, really, really need, I can't find at my neighbor's house. And I can't find in downtown, and I can't find in my government, and I can't find in all these other places. What I really, truly need as a human being is to go to God. He built us that way. Remember, He's our Creator. We can go wherever we want to. We can hold whatever signs we want to. I can point at everybody around me. I can do whatever I want to do. But if I will not kneel before God, I will not be healed. That's why we've had problems in our nation and in humanity since Genesis chapter 3. That's why. Because when we fail to kneel before God, we are destined to utter and complete disaster. That's what we achieve. I'm sure at some point Adam and Eve said to themselves, this is just a tree. This is just fruit. Of course, they got, you know, Satan there, and he's helping them to become disobedient. Lying to them, literally, about God. Folks, we need God. We need Him. And if you want to help your neighbors, my neighbors, if you want to help our town, our state, our nation, and this world, if you really want to do something productive that will shatter the problems of mankind, point them all, point us all toward God. That's where we need to be. When you look on the news, just understand that if they're not talking about God being the solution, they're never going to find relief. Never. Because you go from one problem to another to another. I can't, as long as I have sin in my life and I manifest that sin and I live out that sinfulness, I am dying every single day. When I have God in my life, I begin to live. And I begin to heal. And I begin to find a place in this world. And I can't change anybody else but me. But when I begin to follow God, I become something different. My view of the world changes. When I see those people on TV doing those things, it breaks my heart. It makes me angry because there are people that lose their lives, their businesses, their jobs. That's horrible. But what it tells me is Satan is running amok. Satan gets to do whatever he wants to do. And I'm going to tell you what, in this world, he may be the prince of the power of the air. But the children that belong to God, well, they belong to God. And he can have this world for a while. There's going to come a day when this world's going to be gone. Everything that's created is going to dissolve in fire. But God will still be God. This morning, I hope you found some strength and some courage. And I hope and pray that we've gotten a little bit of focus and direction. We're going to talk about why we need different things over the next few weeks. I thank everybody for the wonderful, kind comments to our studies that we gave toward the names of God. This perhaps is just a bit of a small recap of those principles, but boy, does the world need God. We need God. Cannot live without Him. So this morning, if you are a Christian and you have some struggle in your life, I will give you a couple of options. I'm going to stay down front here. I'm not going to walk out the back here until everybody's gone out of the auditorium. I'll be the last one out. But if after this worship service is over, if you want to come forward and talk with me or see one of the elders, I'm sure they'll be happy to sit down and talk with you if you need to make some changes or ask for prayers or whatever the case is. If you want to come forward in just a minute, we're going to have an invitation, song of encouragement. I'm happy for you to come forward. So I'm just adjusting myself to what you feel comfortable with and what your needs are. I love you. And the most important thing for both of us is that in the end, we both see God. That's the single most important thing for all of us. So if at this invitation you find yourself as a Christian struggling, or if you find yourself as a person not having started that spiritual walk, and you need to do that, it's a very simple process from a biblical standpoint. The question is whether or not you will adhere to it. Are you willing to repent of the sins that separate you from God? And are you willing to do that? And that is walk away from those things that have separated you from God. And I'm not going to sit here and list all the sins. I can't, for one thing, because as soon as I list them all, people will think up another one. There's always somebody smarter than me out there. But God knows. You know. And so if you're willing to confess Christ as Lord and Master, if you're willing to be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins and live faithfully, you can be His child today, and you don't have to fear anything else in this world. A virus, a political stance, the wrongness of man. You can put fear away. Because in the end, no matter what happens, the most important thing will occur, and that is that you'll go home to be with God. So this morning, I encourage you, if you have any need, if you'd like to come forward or if you'd like to speak with me a little bit later, then please do so while we stand and sing.